weekend's over. I'm here to tell you, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Start of another wild one in Washington, D.C., and how does that affect you in your backyard? We're going to talk about that at the top. Hope you had a good couple of days off. Perhaps you went and saw one of the flicks. I actually went and saw a movie that we previewed a couple of weeks ago in our cheap movie reviews. I'm going to tell you what I thought in a few segments from now. Let's just say I left with a huge headache. For the first time, I left a movie theater with a headache. I'm not going to tell you what the movie is just yet. Speaking of headaches, boy, there are a lot of headaches when it comes to the fallout over the Casey Anthony verdict. And remember, the 17th, she gets her get-out-of-jail card. She'll leave prison on the 17th. But it's not so much about Casey Anthony and whether or not she'll leave the area because of possible death threats and just the what she'd have to live under, the reaction of people spurning her and walking out of restaurants and that kind of stuff is the thought. But more the death threats, I think. It's not about her. It's more about the jurors. You know, we talked a lot about knowing how they arrived at their verdict, which I think, to be honest, is useful information. Certainly useful information from a defense point of view. In other words, people who are going into these similar circumstances or people who are jury consultants do it for a living, they always want to know what the jury was thinking. And then the prosecution team, of course, it's useful information to them as well. The jurors, not known, so to speak, because really, let's face it, their names get out since people in their neighborhoods know relatives, all that kind of stuff, and people can't help but talk about it. And now, because of the reaction, certainly online and elsewhere, there's actually been a couple of threats, apparently, toward some of that anger pouring out toward some of the jurors who, like I said, the judge didn't release the names, but you know that people know who some of them are. So it's been 2 months, and day after day after day, this was pummeled across the airways. I mean, right from the very beginning, certainly court TV and others were doing it. We talked about it here in America Tonight, but it wasn't a daily thing or a weekly thing until you actually got into the meat of the case. But now, however, now that it's all said and done and you have the jury who find themselves threatened, I think that's scary. It's scary that people would really go to the point of saying they were so enraged by the verdict that they were willing to level death threats at a couple of the jurors who they knew to be revealed as being part of the Casey Anthony case, frankly, and ultimately the end of that. So I might switch what I said originally. I think it's valuable information to know what the jury was thinking when they arrived at a verdict, but if it's causing them harm and they are forced to be on this jury, let's face it, that's part of that whole civic duty thing, then I say ixnay to that. And that's a bad thing because that means that probably access to future juries could be cut off. Why put them in jeopardy? And these names weren't announced anyway. I think that's a frightening thing. I understand being upset at the verdict because, trust me, my hair was on fire when I heard it. I couldn't believe that they did not convict her of the murder of her daughter. And we can go through all the things that we talked about last week, reasonable doubt and letter of the law and all that kind of stuff, and that perhaps they shot too high in going for the death penalty. But still, really, the fact that there are people who were on the jury and now have to worry about protection, wow, that's not right. Oof, that's not right. All right, so moving from Casey Anthony and the verdict and all the online venom and offline venom toward some of the people who had something to do with the outcome of that, there's really not much more we can say about the debt ceiling and these meetings over the weekend, because there's nothing new to say. It's the same old tug of war. I mean, they agreed to meet again on some kind of a debt deal on Monday. And we know the characters, right? We're talking Democrats and Republicans. And Tim Geithner screaming and flailing his arms and saying that there's so much at stake here, you have no idea. It's going to hurt people for a very long time to come if something is not done about this and lifting the debt ceiling. If we don't do it and we default on our loans, it's going to be worse than the Great Depression. And people are going to feel like they'll never recover from this. And, of course, he was part of the Sunday Swirl. He was on Meet the Press moaning and kvetching about how badly it would be, and that if you think you have experienced some hardships now, you just wait until the debt ceiling isn't lifted. Ooh, ouch, tough words, huh? And somebody said to me last week, Tim Geithner, okay, is the Treasury Secretary, and think of his ties to Wall Street. Somebody said to me, you know, what's his take in it? What really, honestly, this is a guy who didn't pay his taxes and then got to be the Secretary of the Treasury. What's his nickname? TurboTax Tim. Where has he been living? What, doesn't he realize? It's a Democratic-controlled Congress now, at this point, that is keeping us in the middle of all this mess, that put us in the middle of all this mess. And then, of course, all the crazy efforts in some of these bailouts, which, yes, goes back to 2008 and the bank's too big to fail, and we know we've relived that over and over and over again. But we keep perpetuating this thing about the second Great Depression. I mean, I ask you, really, do you think it's going to be the second Great Depression if the debt ceiling isn't lifted? Really? Is it going to be that much pain? I would think if we're saying, honestly, you can tell me, you can connect the dots, that absolutely this is where we'll be. You know what? Then I would say, okay, all right, you're telling us this absolutely in stone that this is where we're all going to be. We're going to be standing there in bread lines and soup kitchens if we don't lift this debt ceiling. I'm not buying that. I don't think it's a good thing to continue to go down this road of the deficit. And, okay, I can understand that, sure, we have to do something to at least pay on the interest. But forget all this crying out at how much pain and suffering we will all feel because we're not buying what they're selling anymore. All right, one thing that I have to say a high five over, the Obama administration is suspending, and check this out, canceling hundreds of millions of dollars in aid to the Pakistani military. Woo, bravo. Oh, yeah. How do you like that? We just started the show, and we have our daily salute. This should have been done a long time ago. And look, this is part of, I think, the revenge for what happened with Osama bin Laden and then Pakistan turning on the American military trainers and once again turning their backs on those that were helping them. So why should we continue to give them money? Why should we continue to supply money to Pakistan? I don't get it. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
You've heard a lot lately about zeolite, but what is it and why do you need it? Zeolite is a beautiful complex crystalline structure that encapsulates radiation and odors. ZeoKing Zeolite naturally eliminates radiation poisoning your body may pick up from x-rays, security scanners, or nuclear fallout. ZeoKing flushes environmental toxins absorbed from smoke, cell phones, and chemicals, so it detoxifies heavy metals including mercury, lead, and cadmium. ZeoKing Zeolite helps boost your immune system, allowing your body to balance itself and cut off food supply to cancer and parasites. Order your ZeoKing Zeolite now from ZeoKing.com for only $39.99 and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit ZeoKing.com. That's ZeoKing.com for natural elimination of radiation poisoning.
Over the weekend, if you have any thoughts on the show, I always say this, send them to me through the website. Go to americatonight.net, click on the email, and bada bing, you are in faster than you can blink. So at the tail end of the show, we will check the email. Plus, I'm going to tell you about the movie that gave me the biggest headache of my life. I'm telling you, it was a long, long movie. I'll just give you a hint. The special effects, I have to say, were fantastic. Also fantastic was what I just mentioned before we stepped aside for a quick second about dropping the ball or the bomb on Pakistan, so to speak. I know you're getting all excited there. The fact that finally we're suspending or killing, canceling millions of dollars, millions that we've been pumping in aid to the Pakistani military, I think is tremendous. And it's a long time coming. Altogether, about $800 million, they say, in military aid and equipment. Or let's say, if we were to look at the numbers, one-third of $2 billion. Think of that, a third of the pie of $2 billion. And American security money to Pakistan is probably affected. That's good. That's a huge chunk that I don't think should go there. $300 million, because it's been broken down. In fact, the New York Times did a huge blowout article on it. It was, I think, in their front page. It includes about $300 million to reimburse Pakistan for some of the cost of deploying 100,000 soldiers along the Afghan border to supposedly combat terrorism. Also, hundreds of millions of dollars in training assistance and military goodies, hardware as they like to call it, and including congressional, Pentagon, and other folks who were granted an anonymous place in this to discuss what is a very, very delicate proposition, I guess. Now, I think the good thing is radios, night vision goggles, helicopter spare parts. We knew about this because we talked about this before. And that's all used for training. And the reason we're cutting this off is because Pakistan is denying visas to Americans who need to operate the equipment, for one. And then, like I said, retribution for a few other things that have happened. I mean, look, it makes sense to me. We don't even know whatever the military budget is for Pakistan. So does it have a small impact on their overall budget? What does it directly affect? I mean, the Pakistani army has about a quarter of the nation's expenditures, they say, supposedly. I mean, the bottom line is this. It's all gobbledygook to me. The bottom line is this. Pakistan can look in the mirror and blame itself. The military is riddled with corruption, and all of the American assistance that they've been getting, they turn around and look at that situation in Abbottabad and what they've done. And then threaten after we swoop in and kill Osama bin Laden. So I think it was time to cut off that aid. And once again, bravo. It's just a drop in the bucket, however. Millions. It is millions, and that's good. They're holding that up, and I think that's a very good thing. I think they need to cut it all. You know, this is one of the things that Ron Paul said in running for president on the Republican side of things. He just went right on the limb and didn't care if it broke in half and said, cut off all foreign aid. Cut off all the unnecessary places where we're spending money that we shouldn't be spending. In Pakistan, because of the way they spit in our face, I would say absolutely pull the rug out from underneath the Pakistani army. Sure, teach them a lesson. Pull some of that back, hold some of that back. But in the other cases, aid to countries where they're on their own 2 feet, they don't need our cash. We need our cash, right? We need our cash. All right, I like to call this segment Odds and Ends because while I can sit here and pummel the debt ceiling and how crazy it is that we can't get back into the black, and I'll always rant about that, and we jump up on the soapbox and we talk about being sick of the Democrats and the Republicans and that, you know, wouldn't it be great if there was a third option here because we're so tired of politics as usual and, ooh, Monday there's another meeting and, ooh, what's the date for the big crash and when are we defaulting on our loans? But that's that same record that we're playing in the background. I mean, if I were sitting here drinking a cup of coffee and listening to the same song over and over again, and listen, I'm a creature of habit. I can listen to songs over and over again, but only to a certain point. Then I need to change. Then we need to change the tune. So that's why we changed the tune up a little bit with Odds and Ends, because there are other things, believe it or not, happening in the world besides the fallout from the Casey Anthony trial, which is interesting and sad because of some of the death threats at the jurors whose names weren't supposedly publicly released, and she's not out of prison yet, or, like I just said, our terrible economic situation where we should have never been here in the first place. Well, and mixing it up, how about now the last shuttle in space? The Atlantis docked at the International Space Station over the weekend, and they're there for a week. And this is it. I mean, 30 years, and this shuttle program now is kaput, is done. So the whole thing is, as many of the missions have been, is they're going to deliver supplies, spare parts to the space station. Doesn't it sound funny to say that? It's like getting in a truck and saying, I'm going to go deliver a bunch of parts. But this is a much more expensive way to do it. So they're going to pick up a broken pump. They're going to take that back to Earth for some kind of an inspection. And it was flawless, the operation in docking. They did one of those backflip maneuver things that they do. And all systems pretty much go. But now they're concerned about a piece of space debris, or they call it space junk, that could be headed toward the space station. You know, there's all those, it's space junk. There's things that are in space that are floating around. And what the information they have, the data they have, shows that the point of the closest approach would happen maybe on Tuesday, and that's also the same day that they're supposed to do a space walk. They don't have a good probability on the collision. And they don't know for sure the size of the object, because, boy, that would make a difference, wouldn't it? Well, let's see. Is it the size of a dime? Are we talking the size of a football field? Somewhere in between? And here's the thing. They can't just completely blow off the space debris or junk because 2 weeks ago they had there was a group of astronauts that had to have, you know, go take shelter basically in their capsule. It came about 1,000 feet or so near the station. So they don't want that to happen to the guys that are up there now on Atlantis. They don't want the same situation where it's that close. And, you know, you wonder, and I'm thinking about the Russians who were in that, were in the capsules that had to go in deep into the recesses of it, if you will, to avoid being slammed by the junk. And now I think, how wild is this? The whole race to get into space in the first place. Remember Man on the Moon, all that? And now the American Space Shuttle program is done, is over, is toast. And if we want to hitch a ride into space, we got to pay millions to the Russians. And, yeah, they'll take us up on one of their ships. Yeah, can we hitch a ride with you? How many millions was that? So NASA is trying hard to work on whatever it is new that they're going to do. They're developing a new vehicle, if you will, because that's what it is. It's always that. It's a rocket. It's a shuttle. It's a whatever. And they're hoping that they're going to be able to ask for proposals in the earlier part of next year. Remember, the president reemphasized that there was going to be some aggressive goals, whatever that is, for NASA, including exploring the lower orbit and a little bit further deep into space. And the whole idea, is, I know you think you're listening to George Norrie, that we want to have humans on or near an asteroid in 2025. Yeah, on or near an asteroid. But once this mission is over, once they get off the space station, deliver all the parts, do all that stuff, then that's it. This breaks the chain. Think about this. I was thinking about this morning. It breaks the chain of uninterrupted human presence in space that's been there a decade. Because the first expedition was back in November 2000, the International Space Station anyway. This is the 28th expedition, by the way. 28th expedition. So after the Atlantis, that's it. It's all about development. We're talking a Saul album next in Oslo.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
What's cooking at PrizeKitchen.com? Plenty! Low prices on your favorite kitchen brand appliances, Vitamix blenders, Omega juicers, reverse osmosis systems, and more. Plus, free shipping on it all. PrizeKitchen.com gives your family the tools for a healthy lifestyle by eating more fruits and veggies and drinking pure water. Go to PrizeKitchen.com. Great selection, low prices, free shipping. PrizeKitchen.com. We help make healthy lifestyles convenient.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hi, my name's Russ, and after my heart attack, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I needed to keep on working, but now it's becoming a problem. I heard about these garlic cayenne drops and hoped it would help me. Well, I've been taking them for about 4 months, and the way I'm feeling now, I can see how I just might make it to retirement, thanks to Extendivite.
My name's Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S-510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool. Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available. So get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold, she's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you, you won't have to think twice.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, fresh off a weekend, heading into another week of Dead Talks. And of course, as you know, Monday through Friday, we go to Washington, D.C., and talk to some real insiders from Talk Radio News who are covering the White House, who are covering the Pentagon, all the big doings in D.C., as we try to paint the best picture we can or the worst picture we can, just offer it up to you so you know exactly what is happening coming out of the Capitol and out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and even out of the Supreme Court, because lately there have been some interesting things that have happened in the court, and there are some decisions that are coming up. I think that would be interesting and certainly worth talking about, right, because we got the three branches, certainly. I started off the show talking about a little bit about Casey Anthony and the situation with the jury and whether or not jurors, their identities should be revealed. Because the judge in this case, Judge Perry, decided when he was asked about it, and there had been a room all set up to talk to the jurors, they said no because of how inflamed the people were, or enraged might be a better word, outside the courtroom and all the fighting that went on to try to get a seat in the courtroom. It was obviously a lot of people were upset and they knew that. So you have these jurors who have these numbers. That's, they're just known as juror number three and juror number two and one and, you know, whatever. But the problem is because it's easy from other people in the neighborhood or word of mouth from a sister-in-law or whoever, somebody says something and then suddenly their identity is, revealed. And you think of it as how traumatic this experience for some of them would be, because you're called for jury duty and ultimately you're chosen. So really, if you think about it, you don't have a choice in it unless you come up with some of the crazy cockamamie things people come up with to try to get out of it. But in some counties, in some areas, they've gotten very strict about letting people off of juries. Very, very strict. So death threats certainly aren't going to help in high-profile cases. And this isn't the only jury that's faced that. And I said this at the top. I think it's valuable information to know how a jury arrived at the decisions that they arrived at in less than 11 hours. They didn't ask to see any evidence again, any of that kind of stuff. And certainly if I were the prosecution, and they might do that anyway, the jury or any of the jurors might be willing to talk to the prosecution, and that doesn't have to be on camera, and that's not a public record. But there is some value to it. However, if the kind of things are happening where their life is in danger, where someone's following them, where they're getting harassed or getting phone calls at work when they go back to their job, where people are screaming things and hanging up and threatening them, yeah, then I understand why that information wasn't released. Too risky. I mean, really, too risky. Can you imagine if something happened to one of those jurors? And listen, I understand people saying, wow, this is unbelievable that they came up with this decision. But the threat just in doing your civic duty. Now, I wonder why people don't want to do that. One, it's not like you're making a boatload of money. Two, it's inconvenient for a lot of people. And, you know, it's like when they say jury of your peers, are you really getting a jury of your peers? Because how many people try to wiggle out of, how many intelligent people try to wiggle out of jury duty? Because they don't want to do it for whatever reason. They have a busy life. They've got kids in school. They have kids in daycare. They're working two jobs, or they have a job where it's a high-profile job and they can't possibly get out of what they're doing. I mean, listen, you know the excuses. So that's the other part of it. What kind of jury are you getting? How would you feel about your chances of getting a jury of your peers? I mean, I hate to be that cynical, but I listen to what people say about jury duty, and I look among the people I know as to how many have actually served on juries. I told you my most recent experience where I got a summons, went down, and then the numbers weren't called, and we were dismissed and told, okay, you're good for another 3 years. So anybody who was on my side of the aisle who had numbers close to mine, they all of us went. We just weren't chosen. And trust me, there was a massive sigh of relief from the people that weren't chosen. I really don't think they were disappointed that they weren't chosen. Coming up on our next show, one of the things that we'll talk about, now this is a woman who knows about civic duty. She gave her life to really the business of politics and being the wife of a politician. And certainly she, because of what happened to her with alcohol and pain pills, she became the face of addiction and dealing with addiction. You may know already who I'm talking about. The former First Lady Betty Ford died over the weekend at the age of 93. And, you know, the Betty Ford Center really became a place where, all right, now we're talking about this, and it spawned, I think, a whole bunch of other facilities across the country, really. Not that there weren't any, but the conversation, anyway, started to change once Betty Ford, you know, admitted what she was dealing with and everything that had happened to her and going through what she went through. I think that's of everything, what she struggled with and how honest she was about it, of all the other things that she did in her life. And she was a huge, 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 huge beacon of hope to a lot of people in other areas, too. But I think, really, she'll always be known for that, her commitment to helping people to deal with drug and alcohol abuse and addiction and, you know, recovery and the success of recovery, and especially for families. I mean, she was incredibly I know people that know her. I had a chance to meet her just briefly once, and she was just refreshing at how open, I think, that especially in the 70s and those times, how refreshing it was that she was so honest about tough things that she dealt with. Even cancer. I mean, you know, mastectomy, that kind of stuff wasn't talked about either. And she was very specific about what happened to her with breast cancer and the surgery. And I think she also helped to inspire people in that area and just to not keep it in the closet, so to speak. And so really, if anything, that's what I think of when I think of the former First Lady. So 93 years old, 93 she died. Wow. And I think there's a lot of people, and we'll talk about that later this week. We're going to have some people on specifically who deal with drug and alcohol addiction, and they'll talk about just how much Betty Ford really was the face of this for so many decades, and how she made the world a better place in that sense, because she helped people to feel like they could be strong and conquer that kind of thing when in an era when nobody really talked about any of it. So that's something that we're going to talk about in our next show, the how far we've come as far as addiction and talking about it and people actually getting the help that they need instead of not saying anything. And then, you know, you show up at work and you find out, well, so-and-so died, or, you know, so-and-so is in a terrible way right now. They're in the hospital because of XYZ, alcohol, poisoning, or whatever it might be, because they would never talk about it. And she did. She really opened up the conversation. 93. She lived to be 93 years old. And she was a difference maker for so many people in so many different ways. Hey, I mentioned that coming up we were going to talk a little bit about the mail and, you know, some of the stuff that many of you sent me over the weekend, which had to do with Casey Anthony. And we'll go back there again because you're talking about the jury and whatnot. But first, let's go to Dan in Texas. Hey, Dan.
Hello, Kate.
How are you?
How are you, Madam President?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Who won the jacket?
Oh, actually, a guy named Bobby Mack won the jacket. You're talking about the Evel Knievel flag, yes. And his story was about Emmett Smith coming to a school where he was a teacher, and he wasn't there that day, and he was heartbroken because he was a lifelong fan, and Emmett Smith arranged for him to come and meet him at one of the practices at Valley Ranch. And, of course, he's a former player. He wasn't playing then, but off time when he was out of football.
Yeah, okay. Now, I think we ought to sue Bill Clinton and Janet Reno for creating the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac or whatever it is, debacle where the Democrats and the Republicans went along with allowing them to sell these derivative loans, and they put the pressure on the banks to go along with it, otherwise they would investigate them and restrict them from doing anything. And I lost $95,000 in that debacle, and everybody out there right now is suffering because of their efforts to do this, and they're responsible for it along with Barney Frank and Chris Dodd. They pushed it all through, and we're paying for it, and we should be reimbursed.
I agree. I think that is one of the biggest blunders that happened and was overlooked. Sorry you lost that money. That's terrible.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste.
digest, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Is your church, school, or organization desperately looking for new fundraising ideas? Tired of the same old candles or candy, taking orders, inventory, and low profits? Well, here's great news. 10X Fundraising guarantees 10 times traditional profits with zero hassle. For an amazing free bonus, free shipping, and an extra 10% off, enter GCN when you go to 10xfundraising.com. That's the number 10, the letter X, fundraising.com. Or call 800-480-8797. Visit 10X Fundraising for 10 times a profit today.
Will you survive during the economic collapse or another deadly natural disaster? Your key to survival lies here at hardshoot.com. A former member of U.S. Special Operations knows what you'll need to survive in these hard times. Our online store arms you with extreme survival kits, self-heating food reserves, and more. For a limited time, with any purchase, you'll also receive a 3-day survival kit absolutely free. Prepare now. The online store, www.hardshoot.com. www.hardshoot.com.
Has the whole world gone mad?
What's going on?
How can they do that?
Can Christians have demons?
Why are politicians so detached?
Need answers to these questions? This is Scott Enser for HardcoreChristianity.com, the nastiest Christian radio show and website in the country. When it comes to the biblical truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, about what's really going on in America and the rest of the world. Come join us each day as Michael W. Smith of the House of Healing in Phoenix reveals what the churches in America fail to tell you about the true spirit realm concerning demonic activity, mental illness, and even the basis of hardcore evil that is sweeping mankind. Visit HardcoreChristianity.com. Remember, you cannot negotiate with evil. You have to eradicate it. It's not too late. Live in or visiting the Phoenix area? Come join us twice a week for our healing and deliverance services or attend our free monthly seminars. Check website for service hours and schedules.
HardcoreChristianity.com.
On ATN, in one of our Friday morning cheap movie review segments, we looked at the movie Transformers, which Shia LaBeouf has become a major player in Hollywood now, and part of it is because of Transformers. He's now done the third installment in that series, and each and every time it continues to ching at the box office. So when you have the money factor coupled with the fact that he's young Hollywood, who knows how many more of these we could see. I have a funny feeling there's probably at least two left in the bag somewhere, right? It's not about three anymore. You know, it used to just be the sequel. Then all of a sudden it was the threequel, and then it was the prequel, and anything in any way they could stretch it out. If you had a franchise that you knew you could keep the interest there, by golly, you were going to exploit that. And of course, because with when it comes to any of the productions, the amount of money that it costs, and any of the studios, what they want is the results. They have to have the results if they're going to pump that kind of money into it. And you get a franchise that works, you're going to figure out a way to try to continue to, plow that road. So I went to the movies and I saw with my nephew and husband the new Transformers movie. It broke huge records on the 4th of July, that whole long weekend. I mean, just huge, huge records. Millions and millions of people in the U.S. went to go see Transformers. We didn't see it then. We went to see it this weekend. And it was, well, the first thing was the sticker shock. And maybe because I'm old school, I haven't gone to that many 3D movies. A few of them, but not very many. And naturally, when you're with a kid, they want to go see a 3D movie. And then it's XD 3D. So you go to the box office, and the first thing, there's three of us, the first thing they say to me is $41 for three people. And I was like, $41? Here's your glasses. Have fun. It's digital. It's the best digital you can buy. So the movie Transformers was long. It had great special effects. And by the time we left, all three of us, the 9-year-old included, or 10-year-old, he just turned 10, had headaches. We had huge headaches. Well, so can I recommend the movie? I think if you like the first Transformers, if you like the idea of good versus evil, if you like huge special effects, then you probably would like this movie, right? So, you know, it's making well over $130 million, and they say that the movie still has so many more laps to go around. In case you didn't see Transformers, here's a little snippet of it.
Optimus!
All right, so you get the gist. Loud music, screaming, machines trying to take over the United States, specifically, I don't want to ruin it for all of you, but specifically Chicago. So if you go, just realize that it's going to be really, really loud. All right, so that's my little movie experience. There were famous people in it, too, that were good besides Shia LaBeouf. Also, Frances McDormand was in it. She was very good. John Malkovich had a small role in it. He was good in that role, too. There was a little bit of sarcasm peppered throughout it, so I did like that part. It's called, by the way, The Dark of the Moon. Transformers, The Dark of the Moon. And by the way, I was wrong on the cumulative gross, because if you took everywhere where Paramount Pictures has had it out in the 2 weeks, it's actually up to $261 million. So they definitely made their money back. All right, without further ado, let's head to our mailbag.
The mail! The mail is here!
Ooh! Ooh is right. All right, here's one from Jimmy D, who says, "Hello, Sports Princess." I think you were the Sports Princess, right? I hear those sports minutes, and I have to say, I enjoy them. So am I right on that? Yes, you are right on that. My question is not about sports, however. It is about the fact that we continue to talk about lifting the debt ceiling. I am so sick of hearing about debt and how we can't and why we're in this situation. It's ridiculous. Why can't we just spell it out? Some people screwed up in several administrations and nobody was looking, so they continue to spend. And this is what happens when you continue to spend, as I think you've used the expression, like a drunken sailor. This is exactly what happens to you. Am I right? Absolutely. I mean, that's why we're in this situation. You're right. Why should it be a surprise? It shouldn't be a surprise, because it's what we continue to do. We continue to spend, and then, of course, then the deficit keeps clicking up, and then we look behind us and realize, well, now we're going to have to feel the pain, and we're all going to feel the pain. I don't care what they say. Oh, we're going to close loopholes for the rich, or if we should do that. Whatever, doesn't matter what they argue about. Taxes are going to go up. There's no question about it. $14.3 trillion debt ceiling, they're going up. I don't care what deal it is. No deal. We're going to have to make a deal. We're going to have the talks again Monday. Absolutely. So just get ready. I mean, this is heavy politics. But the reason it's heavy politics, because it's called CYA, and everybody's scrambling to make sure that you don't think that it's their fault that we're in the situation we're in now. But I think that most people are just sick to death of, he's right, of hearing about it. And it's the same old thing over and over and over again. Yeah, we got here, and now there's got to be a way to get out of it. And the only way we get out of it is the fact that everybody's going to feel it, trust me. I don't care what they say about protecting people who aren't making it. That's not what's going to happen here. It's not. It's quite the opposite. Because once things close up, trust me, it's going to affect everyone and across the board in all the tax brackets. Tomas is listening to us in Michigan. Tomas, how are you?
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Yeah, and it's funny because I just wanted to talk about the old debt ceiling. You know, in one aspect, I have to disagree with the email that you received, because this isn't the kind of debt that you and I know. Usually you and I know a debt that can be paid off.
Right.
This debt is not going to be paid off.
Mm-mm.
$14 trillion, not going to happen.
And if you look at all the,
if you look at the plans out there, they're talking about $4 trillion over 10 years.
Yeah.
They're going to cut. But the Ryan plan says in the first 10 years, they're going to add $5 trillion. If they don't balance the budget, you accumulate more debt. People apparently are getting confused with national debt and the deficits, which
right.
You add the deficits up and they give you the national debt. Now, this
right.
year, we have a $1.1 trillion deficit. And I can guarantee you, you know, they're going to really get together and reach across the aisle and come up with a balance, with a budget that is under a $1 trillion deficit. It's not going to be, we're going to get rid of all those $1 trillion deficits. It's going to be $950 billion, but people now have been accustomed now to hearing trillion so much, they're going to think it's a great, you know, victory.
Right.
But these are just talking points. These are just talking points that the Republicans and the Democrats are using to get people to vote for them. Democrats say, look, the Republicans want to cut welfare and Social Security. The Republicans are saying the Democrats want to let irresponsibility and laziness pay off, and we're the ones that got to pay for these lazy people. You know, that's all they're doing, because they're not going to cut the debt at all. It's not. You're going to have, like I said, close to a $1 trillion deficit in this budget. So, you know, we have to try somehow to get them
to hold their feet, to be accountable, to hold their feet to the fire. Tomas, thanks. Absolutely. Just be vigilant, folks.